This is the best of the Bean Found Show.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Being Found Show. Your business isn't being found, then whose is? The show is about your business being found by more buying customers. Chauncey and I are going to make the internet make total sense to you. Okay, I might have overpromised right there, Chauncey, because I'm not sure the internet makes total sense to me yet.
It is the greatest hour of radio ever.
I knew eventually you would say that. It is the greatest hour of radio ever. Okay, maybe just for businesses. And Chauncey and I are so good-looking that if this was TV, it would be even better. So I am your host, Cloudwise Joe, and I've got my co-host, Chauncey Haworth, on the other side of the line here.
Yeah, I don't like my personal beauty to detract from the message, so I like to keep it on radio.
Yeah, that's right. So some people do radio because they don't have a face for TV. We're so devilishly handsome that we have to do radio or no one will even pay attention to us.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no one's going to listen to the show anymore because we're such liars now.
That's fine. That'd be all right.
Yeah.
They're not here for the humor. They're here for the learning.
Yeah, because there's no humor. okay, so you can check us out at beingfound.com. You can listen to the show there. You can get transcriptions of the show, and there's all kinds of good information there. Go to beingfound.com or check us out on Facebook, Being Found Help Center on Facebook. Lots of good stuff there, too. So we do have a really good show. I want to get into – I just sounded like who was that guy in TV a long time ago? Really good show.
Milton Berle?
No.
That was a really good show.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of who it is. Normally, I'm the pop culture guy, and I can't think of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chauncey and I were both talking about we're getting ready to go live here. We were thinking, man, this has been a busy, tough week.
It has been.
It's kind of even hard to get ready for the show. I was in Chicago on Sunday, Monday, flew back Tuesday, work. I think I flew back Monday.
I've been busy sitting right here staring at the exact same screen for like 12 hours a day since Monday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So nothing exciting for me. No air flights.
Which is mind-boggling, too. You know, one of the things that came up this week was Amazon. Matter of fact, that's why I flew up to Chicago, was to talk about Amazon and its effect and what do you do about it. And this week has just been full of discussions around that, either with other marketing companies or with manufacturers. So I kind of wanted to share a little bit of that in the beginning of the show here. What I noticed this week was that a lot of companies, and especially manufacturers and wholesalers and distributors who have retail channels, they have companies that count on selling their products. They have, you know, there are brick and mortar places that are buying products from these manufacturers or wholesalers. And these wholesalers are still realizing, even though they have retail locations, they still have to be found on Amazon, because if they're not being found and managing what they call diversion, which means if they're not being found there and they're not managing that channel, then other companies that aren't even authorized to sell on Amazon are buying at wholesale or buying in bulk or buying maybe closeout merchandise from a retailer, and then they're selling on Amazon, and now that manufacturer slash wholesaler or distributor has no control over the prices and the content, and so now their retailers are mad. So ironically, you know, there's this channel that a lot of these manufacturers and wholesalers don't even want to be a part of. So when I say they know they need to be found there, it's they know they need to be found there, but they don't want to be found there because they want their retailers to be successful and sell a lot of products. So there's this whole discussion going on right now about you know, getting a control of the Amazon effect on these businesses.
It's so do you find that a lot of them are instead training their retailers to go online as opposed to them themselves maybe providing education for their own retailers?
Yeah,
to go onto Amazon.
You know, there's a stranger question, the answer to that is probably even bigger, and that is they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to do. You know, it actually reminded me a lot about what it was like, you know, 5-10 years ago when you and I were on the road to mastering the internet and Google and its impact on business, and now there really is this whole new frontier that businesses have to understand now. So the answer is I don't know that they know. You know, they're struggling. That's one of the things to do is help the retailers. Another thing to do is for the manufacturers to hire people or hire companies that will manage those products but keep the retail prices really high or higher so that the retailer still can survive. And then those other companies that are helping the manufacturer, they're going out and kind of whack-a-moling. If you ever played the game Whack-a-Mole, all those other strange businesses that come up and sell the products unauthorized. And I'm not talking bootleg. There's nothing illegal they're doing. It's, you know, they'll buy clothes out or they'll be willing to take less or whatever because Amazon doesn't stop you from selling. So, but to be honest, you know, a lot of the conversations I'm having, they don't really know what to do. It's hard for the retailers to sell because it's around 15% that Amazon takes in a lot of cases. I mean, it varies, but you know, that's pretty close.
That's a big chunk of change. And when you factor in your merchant services and, you know, everything else, mm-hmm. you know, that's looking at a big, big profit loss.
Yeah, and Amazon is its own search engine. So now, if you haven't quite pulled off Google and searching, you know, controlling your search and where you shop on Google, you've got this whole new world of Amazon. And I don't remember how many different channels of Amazon there are, but there's Amazon Fresh, which delivers groceries or has something to do with groceries. There's Amazon Business. There's regular Amazon. I mean, there are, I don't know, 15, 20 different subsets or channels of Amazon that your products can be offered in. So, Chauncey, there is just this whole new front in the war of for businesses to get the internet to work for them and to be found by customers. And so for me, that was just, it was a big week in having those discussions and realizing the impact here.
Well, I'm sure there's a big hit there because for every retailer and company that's even going on Amazon and charging reasonable retail prices, there's an endless supply of people trying, selling out their merchandise and failing, and then another person coming in and doing that. So there's this, like,
yes,
endless supply of undercutters that don't make it.
Yes.
But the line is endless.
That's right. And in a way, and we're going to come up to the break here in a second, but ironically, in a way, it appears that pricing and being the lowest price is probably one of the parts of the algorithm for Amazon to share your product. So if you can get lower prices, it's like having better keywords, you know.
Right.
Probably not an exact comparison, but you know what I mean? So ironically, I think the marketplace is trying to force down prices, which just make this a bigger complication. So in a way, again, the internet is changing everything for business, and we're going to figure it out, and we're going to help businesses understand what to do. But for me, this Amazon effect was a big one. Okay, so we are coming up to the end of this segment. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Being Found Show, and you can check us out at beingfound.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I'm sure many of you wonder why the political leaders of the state of California continue to decay into immorality and absolute idiocy. They promote a corrupt worldview that has already proven itself to be destructive and self-serving. The sad thing is that people are being destroyed by blindly accepting these destructive ideas and values. Only through Jesus Christ will you be protected from these deadly values and find the real love and peace you are looking for. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
You're listening to the Being Found Show. If you're not being found, then who is? And we're going to help you be found by more buying customers. And like Chauncey said, this is the best hour on radio if you're a business.
And I was thinking after our last intro, though, that instead of doing the "we got a really good show for you," we got to make it contemporary and we got to do Steve Harvey and say, "We got a real good show for you tonight," you know.
Yeah.
"We got a real good one here for you." I forget exactly what he says. Never mind. Go ahead.
All right. You blew it. I'm still waiting for the theme song, which you said you were writing. What? No comment? Huh?
No.
All right.
Too busy working.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't plan to pay you for it, so that makes sense. So let's go along with Amazon for a moment here. Let's just kind of wrap our head around the impact that they're having just in general. And I'm going to say it. It's radio, I can say it. I'm starting to wonder, is anyone going to look at them for antitrust? And they're everywhere. They're working on health, getting into healthcare. They now own grocery stores. You know, for a business to look away from the Amazon effect, I think it would be at their own peril. It's almost like Facebook, Google, and Amazon, you know, you've got to have strategies for these monsters. And so in this segment, which I'm calling Did You Know? Did you know that Amazon actually partners with Bank of America to lend money? Did you know that?
No, I had no idea, but I can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah, me either. So, let's see, where is this article? This article is in the USA Today on the 14th. And let me just read a little bit of it. In a shareholder letter 2 years ago, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos said he was looking to team up with banks that could help his company expand its lending program for small businesses that sell on Amazon websites. Amazon Lending, which launched in 2011, so it's been around since 2011, ultimately found a partner in Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. According to people familiar with the matter, and it's the USA Today, so this must be accurate. I'm just going to assume it's accurate. I trust them. Who asked not be named because of because the alliance is confidential. Apparently, we're not supposed to know this. Partnering with Bank of America allows Amazon to reduce its risk and access capital specifically to provide credit to more merchants so they can acquire inventory. So essentially, Amazon's, you know, helping. I mean, it's what Amazon does is push inventory. So essentially, they're kind of taking the handcuffs off or the limitations off companies who may be selling through them. I mean, just, gosh, this makes total sense. You know, I think this is a lot like a car company, you know, a car dealer offering loans to a car lot retailer so that that car lot can have more cars to sell, right?
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, you know. In the case of Amazon, I'm not surprised because it focuses entirely on inventory and sales, which is what they're all about. So, like, in the case of Google, they dabble in a lot of things, and people go, that's crazy. They're in everything. But if you think about it, almost everything Google is dabbling in still somehow comes back to data.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's right.
But some of them get off because, I mean, I think you and I were having the conversation about how McDonald's actually makes its money.
Right.
And they make it off of real estate, not off of selling hamburgers.
Right.
You know, they're making most of their money off of all these franchises and the lands that they're purchased on and the sales and so on and so forth, you know, so.
Right.
So once you hit being a big company like that, you know.
Yeah, you're playing a different game.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing how, well, look at entertainment and look at Disney. I mean, they own literally everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
everything. And is it right? I don't know. I guess that's not really our place to say, but I mean, it is definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, nobody's asking us, but you know what? It is coming up. I mean, again, this show's not political, so I don't actually have a political view on this. I don't even have a view on this. It's just a reality that businesses need to understand is at play. But you are seeing it now where, you know, our government is starting to say, look, Facebook, look, Google, you know, you have the ear of the world, and, you know, some responsibility does fall on you. You know, what that Spider-Man quote with, you know, great power becomes great responsibility. So, you know, things are a-changing. You know, here's another interesting, the sheer mass here is pretty impressive. This program is invitation only, so I'm not sure how Amazon figures out which businesses these loans are available to, but they loan between $1,000 and $750,000 with terms up to a year. So these are short-term loans. And these are basically companies who'd have a hard time getting loans through traditional businesses or traditional business loans. And now I can see this. A lot of what's happening, well, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, because, you know, we think of businesses having to be brick and mortar and a warehouse and a sales office and all this. Well, you know, Amazon has its whole fulfillment and warehouse processing. In my house right now, I could run a billion-dollar product business and never even see the inventory, and I may not even have assets because that inventory is sitting in one of Amazon's fulfillment centers, right? So you can see why you know, there probably is opportunity for this, but they've issued a billion in loans during the last 12 months. Here's the deal with 1.5 billion over the whole time that this program's been together. So they did almost in 1 year more than they did since 2011.
Well, from what I've read in the news and learned is that Amazon was not actually making a lot of profits there for a while. Obviously, Jeff Bezos was.
Mm-hmm.
But the company itself was really sort of reinvesting, and shareholders were not making a lot of money. They were just reinvested in this massive possibility that was going. And so there must be some major strategic goal here as basically funding their own marketing. As these companies grow on Amazon, it's growing Amazon and therefore helping out their shareholders. Because bottom line is money for shareholders.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. I mean, it's not going away. So
oh,
if you want to be found, it's, you know, it's not just, you know, it's, this isn't just affecting the local retailer. You know, this is throughout all of business. This is it's our new world. Okay, so in the Did You Know segment, outbound links. Chauncey, there was an article, and that article was in
Yoast.
What was that? Yoast. Yoast had that article today, and they were talking about if outbound links matter, and I don't know. Can you kind of break down this article for us?
Yeah, basically they're talking about, you know, what are outbound links, and outbound links are basically links that link away from your website, and they're just posing the simple question, do outbound links help
your in other words,
optimization?
A question, as a business owner, I wonder this, and I have to answer this question a lot. I don't want people to leave my website. I want them to stay on my website and buy from me. So is it helpful to link them away from my website somewhere else? That's kind of what this is trying to answer, right?
Yeah, yeah. And at the risk of sounding rude, you know, I'm sure you tell business owners this. Ultimately, what you want is irrelevant when what you want is success. So the little things that you want are really kind of irrelevant.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's pretty close to what I say.
Yes, it absolutely does help you. Because
how?
When people come to your site, you have a primary goal, and that is for them to give you money. Either to buy your goods, to buy your services. That's what a business tends to do, to buy your information, to give you money. But a primary goal implies that there's a secondary goal. And the secondary goal is for your visitors to go about their merry way across the internet. To use you as part of the highway that is the internet to move on to the next thing. Because when Google sees that somebody came to your site, they say, okay, well, they bought something. People like this. But if they don't buy something, they say, oh, well, they followed a link and they went across their merry way across the internet. People found this useful. We
right.
should serve it up again. You know, right. as long as people are finding your site useful for regardless of whatever reason they find it useful for, Google likes you and is therefore more apt to show you to more people.
Yeah, we got about a minute left in this segment, but I wanted to add that too, because ironically, before I even read the article, I was thinking about this today. You know, if you're not linking through your site, then ultimately what you have is a bucket. So if you're not selling, and people aren't liking your content and they're just leaving, then essentially what you're communicating to Google is people don't like your site, they're not going to buy anything from you, and you're not going to help them in their search on the internet. What value do you bring? I'm
don't.
Not going to share your site. So
building your shop in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, good luck building a shop. Yeah, that's a good one. So ultimately, I know it is a little, you know, it's kind of crazy to think of it this way, but, you know, just step back and think about how helpful you can be for your customers. And frankly, they'll click back to you if they were that interested or they're going to remember you helped them.
One thing to throw in here is that you're not linking out to your competitors. Those who are coming to your site and moving on across the internet are not necessarily there for services. They're there for information. So we're providing them more information. So you're not necessarily throwing these people away. They're there for information, not for your services, and we're going to help them.
All right. Okay, so you're listening to the Being Found Show. We're coming up to the end of this segment, but don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with the best hour in radio for business. Be right back.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th, from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
The Bulls are back. It's Bulls and Barrels, Wednesday, May 16th, as Wranglers and Leather meet up with the toughest cowboys, the baddest bulls, the talent and grace of barrel racers, and the insanity of chuck wagon races. A full night of extreme bull riding, WPRA barrel racing, chuck wagon races, and a little mutton busting thrown in for the little tights. Opening night of Reading Rodeo will be a night of thrills, danger, and excitement as guys, girls, and kids match up for this wild and gritty event. Book your tickets now at ReadingRodeo.com or the Rodeo Ticket Office. Hurry, this show will sell out.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas Wright Law.com.
If you're listening to the show, you're probably already being found by more buying customers, because this is the Being Found show. That's probably my favorite opening yet, Chauncey.
If you're already here, if you're a new listener, well, then you need to get on board.
Yeah, well, you'll be better the next segment when you come back to listen again. Because if you're new and I come back, you will have, yeah, anyways, you get it. Okay. Let's get into a two-minute tip, which could take 2 minutes. I might mean that it only takes you 2 minutes, or it might take you 12 minutes, and it takes me 15 minutes to explain. I haven't decided, but I like to call it two-minute tip.
In the next 10 minutes, there's 2 minutes of quality information.
Yeah, that's another way to put it. I think what we'll mean by two-minute tip is it'll only take you 2 minutes. It might take us 15 minutes to explain, and there might only be 2 minutes of good radio. This one I could do in like just 2 seconds. 2 minute tip.
All right, what is it?
Google your business.
Oh gosh, yes.
I mean it's a little crazy how much businesses don't Google themselves or don't Google their products or don't Google what people think about their products. I might have mentioned this before. I was actually sitting across from a prospective client, and the phone rang, and he goes, man, that happens all the time. There are people who pull into my driveway to my house instead of my office, and they call and ask, hey, I just went to your address, and you weren't there. And he goes, why are they going to my house? I go, well, have you ever Googled yourself? And I showed him that on Google, in Google My Business, his address is his house.
Right.
You know? Or on his website, it was still his house. I can't remember which it was. But he goes, oh, no. And he had been dealing with that for I don't know how long. Google yourself.
Right. I would say an extension off of that is while you're at it, call yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So follow through with what you see when you Google yourself. You know, you get the information, you Google yourself, you see some phone numbers, you see an address, you see a link. And you see some words enticing people to click that link, you know, pay attention to that. Because if it says, you know, brand new WordPress site, you probably don't want that to be what it says.
Right. And so when you are Googling yourself, here's what we don't just mean Google the name of your company. We mean, but we do mean to do that. But Google your products and Google, let's say you're a Mexican food restaurant, you know, Google where do I find a good taco or where do I find, you know, good margarita or whatever the products are that you have, and see what's coming up. And look at your Google My Business, call the phone number, check the address, check the times that you're open. I would say that's a big one is, you know, if we all just think about it as consumers, I know that if I'm heading somewhere and it's important that I get a task done or I have a limited amount of time, I'll check and see if the business is open by Googling it. And Google's going to display that time. What if you are open in the summers until 9, but in the winter it's 7, and it's still your winter hours up? How much business do you lose for 2 hours? Did I do that math right? It's 2 hours, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And Google knows what time it is. So if you're closed at 7 and your competitor is open till 9, Google is more apt to show your competitor in the map pack when they're open during the open hours.
Right. Right. Okay, so I wanted to, this is officially the 2 minutes of useful advice on this particular topic, but I actually did want to add a little story that's happening to me and my family right now. And I want to start with a time-tested advice that every grandmother, grandfather, or business coach ever gave to anybody ever in the world, and that is pick a number, or pick a goal, and just focus on that one and get there. Don't try to kill the whole elephant. And just give me a minute here for being cheesy. Don't try to eat the whole elephant. Do it a bite at a time. So after you've Googled yourself, if you don't feel like you're showing up where you should be, let's say for camper shells, then pick that term, camper shells. Let's just say you want to show up for camper shells. If you want to show up in first, second, third, fourth place, something like that, well, now that's your goal. And you may not know how to do it, but now start asking. Start asking people that you know in business. Start asking, call us, ask us. Start asking other SEO companies or other website companies and say, what is it going to take for me to show up there? Listen to them, strategize, think it through, make a step, not an expensive step, not a big step. Don't redo everything. Don't listen to if it's thousands of billions of dollars. Just what can your next step be? And just stay on that until you get there. For one, you know, getting up to number 1, 2, 3 in Google is almost like turning on a faucet of customers if you've done it right. And I want to compare a story that's happening here in my household. So, my 18-year-old son is trying to run a 6-minute mile. Okay. My wife and I are 43 years old. Oops. She's 22. She's whatever age she wants to be. She may not be 43. And so, but he's always bragging about his time. So my wife and I decide that we're going to beat him. And so one day we all, you know, or individually one of us went to the gym and got on the treadmill and ran, and it was devastating. Basically, we would need four more legs and new lungs to get even close to him. But the next day we did it again, and the next day we did it again. And what seemed like it was impossible, we're still not beating him. But our mile time is you know, getting shorter and shorter by minutes because we're focused on that. We go in there, we try. And what's weird is when you're trying and you're focusing on one thing, what seemed impossible starts to seem possible because for whatever reason you do achieve, you do succeed, things happen. But until you actually pick a goal and start chipping away at it, it will always feel impossible. I don't know if we're going to beat them, but we're enjoying it and we're having success at getting our number down, the amount of time it takes to run a mile. And every time I do it, I just keep thinking, gosh, I wish businesses did this when they're trying to be found. Was that a ridiculous story?
No, not at all. Because I've often wondered, like, is this a world of our creating? Is this divine intervention? I don't know, but it seems like, you know, the argument, the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Well, it's also sort of the harder it is to do.
Mm-hmm.
The greater the reward. I mean, take a look at valuable metals. I mean, you're not, you know, dirt is not worth as much as gold is per ounce.
Right.
Or we'd all have a lot of dirt.
Right.
You know? So it seems that anything that's really worth doing, this is what I tell my kids, anything that's worth doing takes time and effort, and there are definitely points while doing it that it straight up sucks.
Yep.
You know, and that's just.
And seems impossible. It can seem impossible, and I think that's what a lot of businesses are going through, is it seems impossible to be found online.
So my slogan for that is progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
You know, just get in there, chip away, move forward.
Yeah, and so the two-minute tip here is Google yourself, but when you find the results, just pick one. Just pick something that's important to you to be found for, and don't give up until you're being found for it. And, you know, fast forward 12 months from now, and you'll be wiser. You'll understand how it works. You'll probably be found better than you were. Go for it. What are you laughing about? You thinking about me running?
I'm just laughing at how, you know, it's all spiritual. The Google yourself is the two-minute tip, because if you Google yourself well enough, you might just find yourself.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh my! That reminds me of that TV show, Black Mirror on Netflix, which is all kind of these creepy stories about what's happening to us from phones and the internet and computers and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Google yourself, you'll find yourself. Forget yoga and everything else. Okay, we are. You're listening to Being Found Show. We're going to be right back. When we come back, I want to answer a question that we had from our listeners, which is, I'll tell you when you come back. And then if we get a chance, I want to break down a couple myths that people have about e-commerce and how you sell. And, you know, for instance, is email dead? I've been hearing email's dead for 8 years. Is it really dead or isn't it? So if we've got time when we come back, we're going to try to answer a question, and then we're going to kill some myths. You are listening to the Being Found Show. If you're listening to the show, you're probably being found by more buying customers, and we'll be right back.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's Forever Furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The Ann Things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Do you want to be found by more buying customers? Okay, that was a dumb question. Of course you want to be found by more buying customers. Well, this show is for you. If you're listening to the show, we're going to help you be found by more buying customers. I'm your host, Budweiss Joe, and I'm here with Chauncey Haworth. What's up, Chauncey?
What's up?
What's up? Okay, so we are coming into the last segment of the show. As always, I have 50 things to go over in the show. I always think we're going to get to them all, and then we don't. So what I want to do is I we get questions. You and I just in general get questions all the time. If it's not from our employees, it's from businesses. But we also get questions from listeners, and so we try to answer those sometimes. So this question is actually kind of hard to answer because we could spend 5 hours answering it.
Oh,
what?
All right.
What do search engine optimization experts actually do?
The honest answer, we sit around and we cash your checks without doing anything.
And there are some that do that.
This is what businesses think. But no, absolutely. I think one part that can be confusing about it is that there's a lot of work behind the scenes. And so businesses aren't necessarily seeing when we're cleaning up code and when we're making a website faster and when we're wrapping it in schema and when we're building citations. Businesses aren't seeing these things. And so I think that can be a lot of the confusion about it. But basically, if I needed to sum it up, I would say that we're making your website faster. We're making sure that your website's words and code represent what it is you're trying to convey. And we're making sure that your reputation across the rest of the internet is consistent and trustworthy.
And there's a lot of work to do that. Our business in particular, we have a checklist that actually takes us 90 whole days to go through, and then a lot of it has to be redone or rechecked, and we go through it all over again. There is a ton of work involved in this, and I think that, you know, that question sometimes, maybe just because we're in it, but you kind of feel like no one really knows what we're doing, and so they do feel like they're just sending checks. But there is a ton of work.
here's one of the big things is that when you're dealing with, backlinks. So part of what SEO will do sometimes is get links from other sites back to your site. And people will come across and say, well, this guy got me 100 links last week, and you only got me one. And then, you know, you might come back and say, yeah, but my one link is worth 10,000 of that guy's links, and it took me 8 hours to get it.
Right.
You know, so there is a very, and I understand that it's confusing for businesses, so I try to be as transparent as possible when it comes to what's going on. But I think it still leaves some confusion. But I think the argument can be, as long as you trust your SEO, it's like trusting your mechanic. I don't need my mechanic to explain to me how my car runs.
Yeah. Well, and let's just kind of rip this apart for a second, too, because one of the questions I get asked a lot, well, okay, if you're so good at this, then why don't I just pay you a percentage of my sales? And that's kind of implying that a way to measure whether you're a successful SEO person is in how much more that company's selling. Now, that's true. That is a metric that as a business you should watch. Are you selling more? Are you getting more customers? And in a second, I'm going to break down three pillars of how to know what an SEO should be doing or what you should be doing as a company. But here's the challenge. It's in search engine optimization, the idea is to get the likely type of customers to your website. But that doesn't mean that as a website or as a company that you have good customer service. That doesn't mean that your prices are competitive. That doesn't mean your products are still relevant. That doesn't mean your sales team follows through or your contracts department writes good contract. You know, so I think
or as lame as it sounds, it doesn't even mean that you answered the phone.
Which happens, right?
Really, yeah.
So, there's a lot of metrics that matter and there's a lot that don't. But I think what's important here is as a business, you've got to look at your SEO and the results it's getting as part of your overall strategy. And you have to be able to watch what's happening in your own business. That why aren't you getting more money? If 27 people called from your website, by the way, do you even know if they called from your website? And there are ways to know that. But if 27 people called from your website, did your sales team even sell any? So as a business, when you're being asked, what does an SEO do? Well, we do the things Chauncey said, and again, I'm going to give you a pillars here to go by in a second. But as a business, this is a channel that will have impact at some point in your customer's life as they're getting ready to buy from you. And what you want to try to do is figure out where is that impact and is what's happening on the phone and in your business lining up with that, or frankly, are you missing opportunity? So here's there's three pillars, and I don't know how to name. I'm terrible at naming stuff. So just as a business, when you're talking to your search engine optimization company and your marketing company and anyone else involved with overall strategy of online, here's three things that you should point out and you should be asking about. And they're really expectations. So part of this is meeting Google's expectations. And sure, put in whatever. Search engines in general, start with Google, though. Meeting Google's expectations. Google has a set of expectations. It has expectations on site speed, length of content, images, videos, how people like your site. And that expectation is actually different depending on your industry, the type of customers that are viewing it. But you really do need to define what Google's expectations are, and you have to build your site and your messaging and everything around that. And then the other expectation is customer expectations. If you're being found from Google and customers want to know prices or features and you exclude those things from your website, well, you may have met Google's expectations, but your customers aren't going to give a crap. And they're not going to use your website. And then the last one, which gets left out a lot, is revenue expectations. So what you want to do, and I'm kind of making a little triangle with my hand, you want to look at your website through, like if you put your hand up like a triangle, you want to look through your website and go, is it meeting Google's expectations, customer expectations, and revenue expectations? And those three things, just ask those three questions every day, all the time, to your search engine optimization team, your marketing team, your webmaster, your salespeople. Just write those on a whiteboard and just ask those three questions every day, and then help make the adjustments that have to be made. Does that make sense, Chauncey? Did I explain that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does.
So
if you fulfill those things, you have more people coming in and more money coming in, and that's a recipe for growth.
Yeah, and so what does an SEO do? Well, we help you meet Google's expectations and customers' expectations, and a good SEO is recognizing what your revenue potential or expectations are so that they're all put together. And so you can ask. As a matter of fact, I would if I were you. My team's prepared to answer these three questions. You should ask anyone who's going to do this, and that is, how will you help me meet Google's expectations, customers' expectations, and revenue expectations? And you'll be doing a lot better. Okay, I want to jump into one other thing. We only have a couple minutes, Chauncey. I keep coming back to this. Again, this, you helped me put this whole wording and method together, and that is the idea of how to get your products and services online using three basic steps, and that is to be available, to be found, and then to amplify and cultivate. So as a business, if your products, your services, and your company aren't available, stop there. Just work on that. Where should they be available? Well, that's why you need to Google yourself. That's why you need to look around and see where your customers are looking for your services, products, all that kind of stuff. And you need to have your content and your business available in those places. Step one, if you're not there, don't worry about step two and three, which is being found and cultivating, and that's more about optimizing for search, and that's more about spending money on advertising and that kind of stuff. So, Chauncey, I'm putting you on the spot here, but in less than a minute, what are a couple places businesses can find them, can become available? We got about 50 seconds here. Where should a company go, yep, let me start here and make sure I'm available?
Google My Business, have your own website, create a Facebook.
Okay, so that was
and
like
have a phone number.
That's like 4 seconds.
Well, we can go into each of those if you want.
No. Just kidding. I was prepared.
You know,
for...
of course, the list is endless. You want to be available on Yelp, and you want to start filtering out into these other places, but they all have purposes beyond that. But the place where everybody is where you want to be first.
Yeah. So you want to start by finding where your customers are. And be available. Okay.
But all of your customers are on Facebook and Google.
Right. They represent most of the internet. So start there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have been listening to the Being Found show. We are coming to the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you listening. We hope that this content and this show helps you out. You can always check us out at beingfound.com. You can call us. Hold of us if you need help or presume you do to make sense of this crazy internet world. Everybody have a good weekend. Chauncey, you have a good weekend. And we're out of here.
Shasta College is giving you your first year of college tuition free. If you're a first-time student at Shasta College, even if you've attended college somewhere else or took classes while in high school and you sign up as a full-time student, you could get a year of college tuition free. The Shasta Promise program gives any first-time, full-time student a tuition-free education for a full year. Apply online at shastacollege.edu/apply. Fill out your FAFSA and talk to a counselor today. Don't think you can go full-time with your work or family schedule? Shasta College has more programs just for you. We have compressed programs, evening classes, and completely online degrees to help you get that boost in your career, new job, or transfer earlier with less debt. Shasta Promise, just one more way Shasta College is giving you more. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650 for the Shasta Promise program.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he's honored by the Russia investigation findings of the Republican-led House Intelligence Committee.
The committee says it found no evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia in the 2016 presidential race.
Which I knew anyway. No coordination, no nothing. It's a witch hunt.
The president was eager to embrace the panel's conclusions.
It was totally conclusive, strong, powerful.
And he suggested examining the Clinton campaign's role in Russian meddling.
So maybe somebody ought to look at that.
Democrats don't agree with the committee's finding, arguing that not enough evidence was gathered. Greg Clugston, the White House.
President Trump made the nation's opioid crisis a topic of his weekly media address, saying that the government needs to do more to crack down on those who deal illegally in drugs of any kind.
That includes getting tough on the drug dealers and pushers peddling this poison in our communities. We have to get really, really tough, really nasty, whatever it takes.
The number of opioid-related overdoses continues to rise, prompting some states to consider taxing drug manufacturers and distributors as a way to raise money for addiction treatment. In a E. coli outbreak linked to romaine lettuce has sickened more people. Here are the details from correspondent Mike Grazia.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced Friday that 98 people in 22 states have now been sickened by a food poisoning outbreak linked to romaine lettuce. Investigators blame the E. coli bacteria outbreak on product grown in the Yuma, Arizona region, but they haven't pinned it down yet. CDC investigator Matthew Wise.
People should still not eat any type of romaine lettuce unless they know for sure it does not come from the Yuma growing region.
And that report. Of course, about a Mike Grazia. Archaeologists say they found evidence of the world's largest single incident of child sacrifice at a pre-Columbian site in northern Peru. Experts who led the excavation say it involves the remains of some 140 children. More from townhall.com.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under $1 a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
A personal finance expert is suing Facebook at Britain's High Court, claiming the social media company is allowing the publication of scam ads featuring his name.
Martin Lewis, who founded the Money Saving Expert website, says his name has appeared on more than 50 advertisements in the last year. Many of them get-rich-quick scams to con people. Lewis's lawyer has lodged court papers for defamation in a bid to make the social media company change its procedures. Facebook says it does not allow misleading or false advertisements and will remove any that are reported to the company.
As correspondent Jeremy House, the U.S. economy slowed to a moderate 2.3% annual growth rate in the first quarter.
The Commerce Department is reporting that 2.3% rate followed a 2.9% rise in the fourth quarter and gains above 3% in the previous two quarters.
That is SRN News correspondent Dennis Crowley. Breaking news and analysis can be found at townhall.com. A passenger is suing Southwest Airlines and the maker of the jet engine that exploded in flight earlier this month.
It was April 17th that a flight from New York to Dallas suffered an engine explosion. It blew out a window, causing cabin depressurization, which pulled a woman out through the shattered window, leading to life-ending injuries. Fellow passenger Lilia Chavez says she witnessed that horror and now suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. She's citing negligence by the airline and CFM International, which made the plane's engine. I'm Jackie Quinn.
An Alaska Airlines plane made an emergency landing last night in Hawaii. Hawaii News Now reported the airline said Flight 145 was on its way from Seattle to Hawaii last night when an oil filter bypass light came on in the cockpit. The airline says the pilots throttled down one engine and declared an emergency as they safely landed in the islands. More of these stories can be found at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
My darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your preeminent local awesome show about stuff that's weird. We need a catchphrase.
That's our tagline. No, yeah. you just found it. You've hit gold, Chauncey.
All right, I'm going to have to listen back, though. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is our other host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
I'm okay. I'm kind of weird today, actually.
As opposed to...
Okay, I should have thought about how that sounded before I said that, to be honest. So, as I mentioned last week, I've been doing this D&D game for all these vampires, right?
Right.
And so I've also just been on, you know, their forums, just reading all their stories and drama and stuff, because it's really interesting. And I actually, knowing some of these people and thinking that they're reasonable people, like, I think it's a real thing. I think there are some people who, for whatever reason, have this compulsion to drink human blood. And, you know, it's a thing in cultures all across history and all that kind of thing. And reading about that is honestly kind of, like, disturbing. It's not like they are scary, but, like, the symptoms are kind of scary. Like, a lot of these people are struggling with looking at friends and loved ones and seeing food, you know.
Really?
And that's freaky. You know, that would be a hard thing to live with. So anyway, I've got all this rattling around in my subconscious, right? And I don't have a lot of nightmares. But when I do have nightmares, it's like the bacteria that the penicillin didn't kill and it became a pandemic and wiped out Southeast Asia, you know. It's that kind of nightmare. It's just a horror show. So I'm launched into this Dante's Inferno with a dash of Bram Stoker stuff, and it seems to last for, like, days. It's all five senses. It's touch, taste, everything. It's one of those crazy dreams. And not only is it just violent and viscerally upsetting, but it's also, like, calculated to probe at my emotional vulnerabilities and unravel my sense of self and just drive me mad, generally. So
I gotta tell you, this is all getting very abstract, poetic.
Right.
I'm very confused. What happened to you?
Well,
You had a traumatizing nightmare from your D&D group?
Yes. So, yeah, so this is all... Point is, it was a long, scary, you know, dream that is hard to, like, even...
Right.
Like, yeah. If I just described it, it wouldn't even get at it. So I'm just not going to bother. Plus, who wants to hear about dreams? Anyway, so I wake up, and I'm like, okay, we're good. Everyone's good. I've been here all night. You know, nothing bad happened. Mm. And so I go to take a shower, you know, try and wake up. But what I didn't know was that, like, a cut had opened up on my lip during the night, or I'd bitten my lip or something. So I get into the bathroom, and I see in the mirror that my mouth and chin are just, like, smeared with dried blood. I look like I've been hunting deer with timber wolves. You know, so I'm just like, oh, that is not cool. That is a cheap shot on the part of the universe.
That's like...
to have that follow me, like, just a little bit into the real world.
Yeah, that's like...
So that's how I woke up this morning, and I've been
funny. That's
discombobulated
like,
all day.
What's that movie? American Werewolf in London, where he keeps having the dreams that he's going out and
it's
eating.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's, so that's kind of what the dream was like, and so I'm there, and it's just, no, this is... I'm just going back to bed. Let's start this day over tomorrow.
That's funny.
But anyway, that's me.
Well, my week has entailed... So, my dream is that, you know, once the kids are finished cooking, that my wife and I will move away and we'll get a chunk of land someplace with it.
Right.
With a small house on it. And
with your child casserole. Right. You come to me.
Right. So, I'm a big fan of doomsday prepping.
Sure.
But I don't actually do it.
Okay.
And I also don't think doomsday is coming.
Right.
So I came up with this thing that I want to doomsday prep recreationally, but for but for retirement.
Actually, that's practical. You know, people
so I
do
want
that.
To do all the stuff that doomsday preppers do, but just so I can retire and know that I'm all right.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've always wanted is a greenhouse, and my wife bought me this, like, small greenhouse to go on my back porch. And I've got some plants in there, and I'm growing some plants. I got two peppers, a couple of cilantros, and some basils. You know, I'm starting out baby, you know, I mean.
So you're set.
yeah, totally. I'm ready.
I'm just going to eat homemade pesto.
yeah.
Well, you don't have olive oil. So
well, I mean, you know, I live in an apartment, you know, so it's like I gotta work with that.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm pretty excited about the fact that I'm learning to grow stuff.
You know, I actually heard a story on the radio the other day. I forget what it was, but it was essentially lots of people are doomsday prepping for, like, financial disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of people who,
that's kind of what I'm thinking,
who were
yeah.
burned during the recession are just like, okay, now if anything goes seriously wrong, I have all this dried food.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go hungry, at least.
I got bags upon bags of Jim Baker's protein mush.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, tools and camping equipment and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I'm totally down with that. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, that seems, that just seems smart to me, honestly.
And, you know, so we're looking to buying a chunk of land, maybe Auburn, you know, and putting up a small house for us and a tiny home for my daughter. And we'll live there.
Yeah.
Grow some herbs.
Grow some herbs. Yeah, grow some not herbs, too. Maybe some real food.
Yeah, like cows.
Cows, yes, exactly.
Some cows. Yeah, yeah.
You just water them. They
also, this week was my wife's birthday. She's not really shy of her age. She turned 43. The funny part is that all last year she thought she was 43. So even to the point where her last birthday party before this one, she had invited on Facebook a bunch of people to her 43rd birthday party. So this year was kind of sweet in the fact that she really didn't feel
you
like she gained a year.
You have a birthday without getting older at
right,
all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think she could take that a step further and just keep doing her 43rd birthday. Just
totally.
Indefinitely.
For the rest of time.
Yeah, exactly.
If she looks young, she could pull it off for quite some time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But she also acts young. It was a unicorn party. Everything was unicorns. The party hats were unicorns. Unicorn balloons. Unicorns everywhere. Unicorn fake tattoos.
I have to say, you went into a little bit of a thousand-yard stare right before you said unicorn party.
Yeah.
Our listeners can't see that, but I just have to point that out because it was pretty funny. Here.
Yeah, because she's lived like this full life, and she's very educated, and I don't see how she maintains being naive at 43.
Well, I don't know if unicorns are necessarily... You know, a naive thing. Maybe people just like the unicorn aesthetic.
She is naive, and unicorns, I think, come along with her. She thinks life is magical.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Well, yeah.
And I don't mean in the sense like she practices magic. I mean, like, she thinks everybody loves one another and life is great.
Hmm.
She's my exact opposite.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
All right, so tonight we got a guest back on. We got William Pullen on again.
Yes.
And we're going to talk this time. William Pullen is from UFO for Real.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk this time kind of about the beginnings of UFOlogy, ufology.
Yeah, ufology.
And dealing a lot with Roswell and the initial studies of Roswell. And, you know, you got to reintroduce these things to whole new generations. And that's us. Come on back.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today, or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I'm sure many of you wonder why the political leaders of the state of California continue to decay into immorality and absolute idiocy. They promote a corrupt worldview that has already proven itself to be destructive and self-serving. The sad thing is that people are being destroyed by blindly accepting these destructive ideas and values. Only through Jesus Christ will you be protected from these deadly values and find the real love and peace you are looking for. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Soon to be joined by our guest, William Pullen, who we'll talk about Roswell and the beginning of...
We will interview him.
But during the break, we had a hater.
Yes.
You know, I have to throw out that we had a hater. You know, I don't get a lot of haters because I don't leave the house much, you know. But
Bah.
Oh, William.
Hello.
I didn't either. That's outrageous.
I didn't know that you had actually called me yet.
I was listening to what was transpiring. I heard you use the word hater. I thought, here we go.
We had somebody call in and basically tell the engineer that it took him 9 minutes to turn off the show and that our show sucked.
Yeah, which is odd because we're normally greeted with just placid, doughy acceptance.
It's
a little different.
All right, so how are you doing, William? How are you doing?
How are you generally doing?
Really good. You know, we have just been booming around here and growing, and I'm loving it. And from what I can see, you have been too.
Excellent. I had an influx of members the first time you guys had me on the show, and it's been a good thing. So I just think keep busy with UFO stuff and doing my thing. So, you know. So you guys are wanting to discuss the beginnings of ufology.
Yeah. So, you know, I really kind of, you know, I know in a lot of situations this is maybe old news for some people, but I really feel, you know, as each generation comes in, and especially our show, we haven't really covered it yet, the sort of beginnings and the core and where did this exactly start, that I thought maybe we would cover that today.
That's a wise man. Well, I mean, the modern history of ufology kind of generally started maybe, you could say, maybe from the mid-30s to the early 40s. There were some sightings during World War II. There was the UFO wave of 1947. The Roswell incident was a part of that. And then after that, investigators, which weren't affiliated with the military or the government, started looking into that. So that kind of was the impetus toward the term ufology or ufologist. And then since then it's kind of blossomed, and there's been a whole wide genre of events that involve UFOs. There's cattle mutilations, abductions, craft retrievals. It's a lot to cover, and it's almost impossible for one person to be really well versed in everything. It's that diverse nowadays. So.
Yeah. Why do you think the mainstream picked up on it so much? Because there was definitely a pushback from media. You know, media was not exactly, you know, loving UFOs as far as stories are concerned. Maybe right in the beginning, but since then they've really sort of laughed them off. Yet it seems to be constantly growing with mainstream audiences. You know, what's the pull there? You think it's because everybody's had an experience, or you think it's just their imaginations running wild?
I think it's a little of both. I mean, in the 1947 wave, the media was reporting sightings of flying discs, as they were called at the time. And the Kenneth Arnold sighting happened a few weeks before Roswell occurred. And then right after that, the military class government tried to stamp down on the media coverage of UFOs. So that kind of established either a non-reporting of the phenomenon or a ridicule of it. So it wasn't taken seriously. And every so often you see a media outlet actually give it some objective coverage. But you're right. Usually when you see a UFO story in the media, the reporters running the story come off as objective, and then toward the end of the story, the laughter comes in, they make light of the story. They really don't take it seriously like they would some other news event. So.
Yeah, when the government and the media swats these down, you know, it always makes me think of, you know, Shakespeare, "Methinks you protest too much." I mean, if they're going to report on it, you know, why would you report on it and then slap it down? It's like the news is not exactly in the business of doing comedy stories, you know, so why would they go to the effort to report on something to knock it down?
Yeah, that's true. That's another take. Yeah, you're right.
And so it seems very propaganda.
That is a subjective question. I mean, I think there's a whole list of reasons why they may be occurring. I mean, at least here in Texas, local media outlets don't cover UFO stories until it's sweeps week, and then they do. Other than that, you won't hear about it at all. Mm-hmm. So maybe a subject matter that people are attracted to in general, but the media won't run a story on it until they need some higher ratings, until it's sweeps week, and then they run a UFO story assuming, okay, people are going to tune in, and then after that, they just kind of let it go. But it's a recurring phenomenon. It's happening all the time, but it's not reported in mainstream media. You have to really dig and look for stories and see what's actually happening as opposed to what's being reported or not reported. So
yeah, I never made the sweeps week association, but that makes a lot of sense. It does that they sort of save their.
Yeah, it really does. It's outrageous. I mean, sweeps week here in Texas, you'll see stories about chupacabra, about ghosts, Bigfoot, anything paranormal in nature.
So what I'd like to see on my regular news is what they play during sweeps week in
pretty much,
Texas,
yeah. I do that three of us. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I would eat that up all the time. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Another UFO story? Okay, yeah.
I don't know about there, but 50% of the local news here is about the weather.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, here it's weather or local sports. And that's
I mean, local sports, yeah, right on. All right, so, you know, we got about 5 minutes up until the commercial break here. So,
okay.
So a lot of us associate Roswell as ufology, you know, hitting the mainstream. But there for a second there, you actually cited a couple of sightings prior to that.
Yes.
A couple of, and I realize that throughout history, you know, there might be stories and lore and stuff passed down and stuff, but we're really kind of trying to base this off of the media. And so are these two stories prior to Roswell? You can remind us what those are. Are those really sort of the beginnings of UFO hitting the media?
You could say that. I mean, the media covered, there were some sightings prior to World War One that were covered in the media. But it's tough to legitimately investigate those sightings because the journalistic standard back then was pretty weak. You couldn't tell they were making up a story just to sell papers. But there was a mass sighting in 1942 over Los Angeles, just after Pearl Harbor occurred. And then the Kenneth Arnold sighting, which was in June of 47, those were widely covered by the media. And both cases are still unexplained. There's some explanations thrown out there, but they're still relatively unexplained to this day. So, but they those two sightings garnered a lot of media coverage at the time.
And was
as
this
did Roswell too?
And was this at a time where we could put a little more stock into the media, or was this close enough in history to the point where we could research some of the sources and put our own stock into it?
I think you're just getting into the time frame where you can put some stock into it. There's just enough. It's just close enough in time where you can cold case backtrack the information and track down some sources and certainly in the Los Angeles side, you had the military officials that were witness to it because they opened fire on this unidentified flying object in the air. So so there's a lot of credible testimony to both cases, although the Arnold sighting is a single witness case, which is problematic. But and then going to Roswell, Roswell was covered in the media west of, say, the St. Louis area. All the major was carried on the AP. And then the story broke, and then the day after, the Army Air Force debunked the story, and then the story just disappeared until late 1978. So that was when the media, government slash military stamped down on it, and that story just was unheard until the late 70s. So,
you know, it's easy to think that one side of this, really sort of outside of ufology and everything, was that the government said, look what happened when, gosh, I don't know what year it was, but when War of the Worlds was broadcast and look how people reacted, we should probably, you know, keep a lid on
this. Yeah, yeah. You know? I think it was in the 30s, yeah. Yeah, the whole Orson Welles deal, yeah. Yeah, that's been a reason that's been thrown around, the public's reaction to, what would the public's reaction be to actual extraterrestrial contact here on Earth? Would there be a mass panic? Yeah, they all heard that argument, so.
You know, a lot of people, and I don't mean to get too political here, but I'm just going to throw this out there. And that is, you know, we're used to being on top of the food chain. And people, if somebody else came out higher up on the food chain, people would like to say that they wouldn't freak out. You know, but if you look at what's going on with changing dynamics and race and stuff like that in this country, even on that sort of microcosm of a level, people have been kind of freaking out. So it's like, I get the argument of we maybe shouldn't tell people that they are no longer anywhere near the top of the food chain.
No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think human beings are inherently uncomfortable with not being at the top.
Right.
We see ourselves as the apex of evolution. And so some other race came here that clearly was more advanced than us, there'd be a large section of the population across the world that would be very uncomfortable with that. That's not just on personal, by on a personal level, but it would be disturbing on an ideological standpoint, politically, religiously. There's a whole dynamic there that is unknown until this actually occurs. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to dig into Roswell.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen, and we are about to discuss Roswell. And for our listeners and for myself, can you give us a rundown on exactly what we think happened there?
Let's see. Well, the dates are argued about to this day, but it seems that early in July of 1947, a gentleman by the name of Mac Brazel, who was a foreman of the Foster Ranch, which was northwest of Roswell, came across a debris field of wreckage on his ranch. He collected some of this debris, evidently held onto it for a short period of time, and ended up traveling to Roswell to report to the sheriff, George Wilcox. In the early 40s, this was before the interstate system was established, so it was really an effort to travel the 60, 70 miles from the ranch to Roswell. So he reports to the sheriff. The sheriff doesn't know what to think of the wreckage. So he contacts the base intelligence officer at the Roswell Army Airfield, Jesse Marcel. Marcel goes with Mr. Brazel and takes the counterintelligence officer, Captain Sheridan Cabot, and the three of them go to the refield. Because it's only in the day, they don't get there until late in the evening, so they have to stay the night, and the next morning they discover this stuff, and
William, can I interrupt for 1 second? This already proposes something to me that I never thought of before. And, when you think of UFOs, you think of either aliens or you think of either experimental craft. And for all these years, I've thought maybe Roswell was an experimental craft, but the timeline that you're saying basically is saying that it wasn't, that the base didn't actually really know about it until this guy told him about it.
Yes, evidently this thing crashed. The base wasn't aware of it until he brought the wreckage to them.
Oh, totally interesting. Okay, so the inspector comes out to the debris site.
Yeah, the three gentlemen come out, and then they bring some of the wreckage back to the base. And the base commander, Colonel William Blanchard, he asked his public information officer to release a statement to the press, the two radio stations and two newspapers in Roswell, that the Roswell Army Airfield had recovered a flying disc, the wreckage of it. So you could make the statement that that's the only time in U.S. history the military actually admitted to recovering a flying saucer.
Hmm.
And as time went on, that same day, Marcel was ordered to fly the wreckage to Carswell Air Force Base to report it to his superior, Roger Ramey, who was the head of the 8th Air Force, which the Roswell Army Airfield was under that command, and from that point on, Ramey instigated the cover-up. The story was debunked, and basically the entire airfield was thrown under the bus, and the story of a weather balloon was put up, and the incident disappeared until, like I said, the late 70s.
And so in the late 70s, really was sort of the renaissance of the Roswell and ufology, and that was with Kevin Randall?
Ufology had grown through the years and the decades, but Roswell wasn't known about. It was discussed in one book, the dates were wrong. The military pretty much made that story disappear. And then Jesse Marcel, who was up in age and retired, was interviewed by Stanton Friedman in the late 70s. And that's when the Roswell case started to progress. And eventually in the late 80s, Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall joined the investigation. For my money, I adhere to Randall's interpretations because he's very objective and dispassionate. He looks at it very coldly as opposed to wanting it to be alien or wanting it to be a no other balloon or what have you. So, but it blossomed since then. The issue with Roswell is a twofold. One, the vast majority of the first eyewitnesses are gone because it's 1947. And two, there's no records of the craft that we've come across. We haven't recovered anything. So it's all testimony and very little paperwork. But the testimony, the vast majority of it, is from military personnel, which leads it to be, it can be taken in a much stronger light because of that. So
I feel like people are convinced that the wreckage from Roswell, let's say it's alien, people seem to be convinced that it was taken to Area 51. Why do they think that? Is there any factual thing pointing to that, or are we just assuming?
There are many individuals that are convinced that it went to Area 51. It's been spread around. Initially, the wreckage was taken to Wright Field, which eventually became Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, when the Air Force became a separate entity from the Army. That's where it was ordered to be flown. So it's kind of a safe assumption that the rest of the wreckage was probably sent there also. Which is one of the holes in the military's explanation, because if it's a weather balloon, that's a pretty mundane piece of machinery.
Yeah.
So why would you go send it to Wright Field to be reverse engineered if it's just a weather balloon?
Everybody likes balloons.
Yeah. It's a pretty special balloon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But some people have thought that the wreckage may have been spread out over the years, and some may be at Air 51, and I'm not convinced that it's there. I think possibly some of the ideas we gained from the wreckage may have influenced our technology we tried to apply to our aircraft, our secret aircraft. My personal view is that the wreckage is too far advanced for us to figure out.
Well, it seems like, if I'm understanding the timeline that you just told me, that shortly after this, the Air Force separated from the Army?
Yes, I was in late 47. That was the, I believe it was part of the National Security Act that Truman signed in late 47, which established the NSA, the CIA as a separate entity. It also separated the Air Force from the Army.
That kind of seems a little coincidental with a lot of the cover-up stuff that people tend to focus on ufology and the cover-up of aliens and UFOs. A lot of the things that were started just then that you mentioned seem to kind of go hand-in-hand with that.
They do. I mean, that Security Act was a bill that was stuck in Congress for several months. Politically, it was at an inroad. It wasn't progressing. It didn't start to progress until mid-July 47, which is strange timing if you think about it. And then it passed quickly.
Right.
Which makes one think, okay, what events happened in July 47 to make this bill that's stuck in Congress all of a sudden pass with flying colors?
Yeah.
In Roswell? I mean,
absolutely. A couple weeks ago we had on a remote viewer talking about, you know, the government funding remote viewing, and we know that happened. And, you know, I was talking to Sean, and I was saying there's, you know, the government and the military, you know, they're pretty straight-laced guys that don't want to waste their time or their money. And it kind of seems to me like if somebody didn't come in and say, hey, let's study remote viewing and here's all my statistics, they wouldn't have hucked money at it. And so that kind of feels the same way for UFOs and ufology. If somebody didn't come in and say, look, here's something to be scared of, let's make a change, you know, they wouldn't make the change.
Yes, yeah, that's logical. Yeah, that follows. Yeah, I mean, the military has procedures for everything they do. And examining the Roswell events, it comes off like the military came across something they weren't prepared for. They were flying by the seat of their pants. And some of the other crash retrieval cases that have occurred since Roswell, the military conducts itself in a much more organized manner, as if Roswell was the one-off, and then they learned how to handle those things for Roswell, and ever since then they've been able to follow procedure much more smoothly. But Roswell comes off as very like a one-time deal, or a first-time deal.
Absolutely. The idea of this investigator or even the base commander flying solo to tell the press that they found a flying saucer by today's standards just seems ridiculous. That his commanders weren't aware or part of this. But at the time, maybe it does make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense because some debunkers will say, well, Blanchard, he fouled up, and this would have cost him a great deal as far as potential ranking increases in the Army and this and the other, but this didn't hurt him at all. He ended up being a four-star general. He became Vice Air Force Chief of Staff at the Pentagon. So his career blossomed after this. So it clearly wasn't a mistake, him releasing the press release. I mean, the cover-up was started despite his actions by higher-ups. But it did still, despite some of the testimony not holding up over the years, there's still a big core of evidence that makes this case a pretty strong case through the years. And it's kind of a flag bearer for the rest of ufology.
Yeah.
I mean, a layperson's heard of Roswell, so...
Right. All right. Well, we're coming up on another commercial break here, but it does always add massive credibility to me when military personnel are the ones backing this up. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for our guest, William Fulton.
Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Shasta College is giving you your first year of college tuition free. If you're a first-time student at Shasta College, even if you've attended college somewhere else or took classes while in high school and you sign up as a full-time student, you could get a year of college tuition free. The Shasta Promise program gives any first-time, full-time student a tuition-free education for a full year. Apply online at shastacollege.edu/apply. Fill out your FAFSA and talk to a counselor today. Don't think you can go full-time with your work or family schedule? Shasta College has more programs just for you. We have compressed programs, evening classes, and completely online degrees to help you get that boost in your career, new job, or transfer earlier with less debt. The Shasta Promise. Just one more way Shasta College is giving you more. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650 for the Shasta Promise program.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
My flying saucer.
To Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. We're talking about sort of the beginnings of ufology and Roswell. But Now, with us coming up on the end of the show, I had a couple of questions to ask you about. What do you make of these astronauts who are coming out saying that they've seen things and that they know things?
I mean, these are trained observers. A lot of them are Air Force personnel that retired to join NASA. Educated gentlemen. I think that's pretty strong testimony. I mean, they're aware of the configuration of craft that are flying, whether it's Soviet or Chinese. They can recognize a spent rocket booster. So if they see something they can't recognize, these are not individuals that are prone to flights of fancy. So I take their testimony face value. I really do.
Yeah, my wife and I religiously watch Jeopardy, and I learn little fact snippets on there. And something like in 2017, there were 30,000 astronaut applicants, and they took like 8% of them.
Yeah, so the best of the best make it.
Right, yeah. And so like when I hear a guy like Buzz Aldrin is basically out there saying that something's going on out there, it's kind of like to me, that's a smoking gun kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some claims are can be construed as a little bit out there, but I mean, as a general rule, when a pilot or an astronaut makes a sighting, it's something he can't recognize. Generally, these pilots know what all earthly craft looks like. They're trained to be aware of, okay, that's a MiG, that's a B-52 or what have you, and when they see something they can't recognize, well, these are not guys that just panic. They're very calm and observant, and so when they see something they can't recognize, yeah, that's pretty strong testimony. Very strong.
Yeah, and how about this one? What do you make of disclosure or this sort of concept of oozed disclosure? This idea that they're slowly disclosing things to us, or that disclosure will ever happen? You know. What's your take on any of that? Do you think that's even happening, or do you think they got it locked down as tight as ever? You know, some people even have the attitude that science fiction movies are kind of trying to get us ready for this, you know?
Yeah, I heard that.
Which, you know, I mean, seems a little out there, but I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
My own personal take is that there's no motivation for the military or the government to disclose. The government certainly doesn't do anything unless it's something to their advantage. And it wouldn't be to their advantage to admit that they've been lied to for 70 years.
Well, I mean, that private industry might come along and prove that they were doing it.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And I've heard the argument for slow disclosure. The issue I have with that is that it begs the question, okay, who's deciding the rate of disclosure? That would be an individual saying, well, the society is not ready for full disclosure, so I'm going to slow this rate down until they're ready.
Right, yeah.
Which means they, for some reason, they feel they are able to gauge our readiness as a society. That sounds like something governments do. That troubles me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like Putin and Trump can't get along for a conversation, but of course they agree that we all shouldn't know about UFOs. I find it hard to believe that all of our governments have gotten together and that this is the one thing that they agree on. They don't agree on nuclear weapons. They don't agree on chemical weapons. They don't agree on freedoms and amnesties, but they agree on the aliens. You know, it seems a little abstract.
Yeah, our government is a little bit dysfunctional, just a little bit. So, yeah. But I just, disclosure, I think this won't happen, at least from government military sources. I mean, it's really up to investigators and individuals to find the evidence and keep digging and keep pushing for it, but we're not going to get it from them, so.
Yeah,
that's just my personal take. So.
I think I agree with you. I think that your personal take is my personal take. I think I'll adopt it. So,
you're a wise man. No, there have been scenarios and times in the past where they could have disclosed, and they haven't done it yet. And I don't see any reason why they would do it now. I mean, I don't know, and I wonder what the rest of the world feels, because it makes me think, okay, do other governments know any of the answers, or is it just the United States and Russia? I mean, which governments have more information than the other ones, or are we all unawares, really, of what's going on? That's an interesting question that I don't know if anyone's going to answer. So.
Right. All right. Yeah. So so we're coming up on the end of the show here. I want to make sure we got some time to talk about you and what you got going on. So what's in the future here for you?
Well, I keep working on my group, You for Real, Historical Review, and running local meetings here in San Antonio, Texas. I got one coming up on Wednesday, and then looking forward to making my yearly trip to Roswell for the festival and visiting with friends and researchers and just
when is that?
Diving into the UFO issue. It's a lot of fun for me, even though it's an obsession,
yeah.
I really admit, but it's a fun obsession.
So. When is so your yearly trip to Roswell coincides with like a festival that they have there?
Yeah, the Roswell UFO Festival is usually either really late June or early July, depending on what the weekend lands on the calendar. It's a three-day event. It celebrates the Roswell incident. They have a whole line of speakers lined up at the UFO Museum there in Roswell and other more family-oriented events that are all go along with that. So it's a big draw. It's a big cash cow for the town. It's one of the major festivals in the country that celebrates this UFO phenomenon. So it's a lot of fun just to reconnect with friends and on a face-to-face basis as opposed to social media or email. So,
right. I bet you I could talk my wife into going to do that.
I think that would be a good endeavor. Yeah, we could discuss things one-on-one.
Totally. What do I bring, a motorhome? I mean, surely the hotels are all
The hotel rooms might be filled up by now. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah,
so where do people find out about you?
You can look me up at You For Real, a Historical Review. It's a Facebook group and a Facebook page, but the group is where I do my actual work as far as reports and sightings of that matter. The page, I just advertise other individuals' work on Facebook and give them some free advertisement and just help them out as best I can. And
a little more of a news feed.
That's where I'm found. Yeah.
So in the group, what can people expect from you?
Video snippets. I do summaries of classic cases, post book reviews, profiles of individuals of note, poll questions, which are some of my favorite posts. I just post a question for the members to wrap their heads around, and as a sole editor, I try to have the cordial exchange of ideas in a calm, objective manner in the group, as opposed to having to get politicized and nasty like it can get.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it definitely can. Social media, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely not the. All right, well, William, it's been great having you on. I really enjoy having you on. This has been the second time for you, and hopefully there's a third in the works somewhere in the future.
I'm open. Thanks, gentlemen. Great to have you. Great to be back on.
Yeah. All right, you've been listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland.
Take me to your leader. Take me to your
take me to your leader now. Take me to your leader. Take me to your leader. Space aliens land in Austin, Texas. Your head space alien says Mojo. Take me to your leader. Hell, let me tell you where I took him. Did I take him to Washington, D.C.?
No!
Did I take him to Moscow?
No!
Did I take him to Tokyo?
No!
Did I take him to New York City?
No!
Hell, I didn't even take him to Memphis. I took him down to North Carolina. Sleepy little town down there called Mayberry. Mayberry got a sheriff, sheriff named Andy. And Andy got a jail, and in his jail on a Saturday night, you can find our leader down in Mayberry in the jail. You know who I'm talking about? You know who I'm talking about, let me tell you.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew opens 7 days a week.